Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's your radio friend with lots and lots of good health information and advice. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
You know, Natasha, on our road to bad health, it's our journey, I guess I should say. I think a lot of us have forgot how the body is actually intimately linked together in every single area. And maybe that's why a healthy gut affects the entire body in a negative way, and a positive gut affects the body in a positive way. I think that we have to remember that everything that goes on in the middle part of our body, in our gut and our intestines and our digestive system, that truly is the leader, the brain, the decider of how the rest of the body follows.
Precisely. You know, I just want to remind everybody that your digestion begins in your mouth, and actually the mouth has more diverse bacterial colonies than even your gut, which is, you know, news to most people. And so bacteria are everywhere. Every time you swallow water or drink anything, breathe air, ingest food, you are altering the bacterial structure in your body. And I think people are ignorant of this, and they think that bacteria is just some infection that occurs and that you go to the doctor and it gives you the antibiotic. I think that era has gone. And I think we have to understand that about 100 trillion microbes line your GI tract and another 10 trillion line the skin. The bacteria are everywhere in your urinary tract, in your vaginal tract, in your portal vein that dumps bacteria into your liver. It's everywhere. It's in the placenta when you're pregnant and, you know, growing a child inside of you. It's not something that's occasionally there. And I think that in westernized cultures, the abuse of, you know, drugs has led to this. I'm not saying that drugs shouldn't be used prudently when they're called for, but the fact is that we have ignored this, you know, bacterial structure in our body, and now we have an explosion of conferences, meetings with experts around the world where they're not going to spend decades studying the microbiome, which is the sum of all the genetic material of the bacteria in our gut. They're going to study the microbiota. In the meantime, the problems are getting worse. And the thing is that you need to fix your gut if you're going to have energy, if you're going to feel good, if you're not going to have, you know, sinus congestion, if you're able to, you know, enjoy your life, if you're going to have beautiful skin. You know, the skin is one of the early signs that there's a problem inside your gut, because the skin will manifest the problem that's inside your gut. And what do most doctors do? They give, you know, immunosuppressive drugs to shut up the immune system, which is trying to communicate with you by causing the skin problem in the first place. So these are the kind of simplistic ideas we have to get out and stop telling people that we're curing, you know, disease. What my point is that by changing your diet and taking the right probiotic, and by engaging in exercise, you are giving your body the tools to heal itself. And believe me, the body is a magnificent biomechanical machine that can cure itself if you give it the right, you know, diet, the right, you know, probiotic supplement, and the right exercise. You'd be amazed at what miraculous things can happen.
Being a pharmacist, John, you see so much stuff up front and personal. And are there more categories of inflammatory products or digestive or pain meds or anti-inflammatories? Are there different medications that you may be seeing today that may be more directly linked to these gut issues that we're dealing with? Or are we experiencing from a lot of them?
Well, so we talked about all the medications for acid reflux.
Right.
They cause gut issues.
Right.
So I see patients all the time that have IBS or Crohn's or colitis. And if they're using H2 antagonists or proton pump inhibitors, it is difficult for their digestive system to normalize, because the pH, or the amount of acid present, will always be incorrect. There'll never be enough acid, so there'll never be enough of the right bacteria, which then the right bacteria creates an environment for a healthy digestive system. So the medications for pain, they're creating inflammation. Even though they're treating inflammation, they're creating inflammation in the digestive system. So you need probiotics to protect your digestive system from the inflammation they're creating. And there are so many meds that are involved with the digestive system. You just look at side effects of medications. I mean, digestive problems, gas, cramping, bloating, is almost, you know, half to 70% of all the drugs have that side effect. So all the people on any prescription med, I could probably tell them a probiotic would reduce a lot of their side effects.
Now, how hard is it to educate people when they come in, when they're coming into a pharmacy setting, and you're also educating them on health and nutrition and diet and talking about dealing with sleep apnea and dealing with putting probiotic drops up their nose and things? People probably now expect it from you, but it's probably a completely different atmosphere than most people are used to in a pharmacy setting.
In my store, it's a completely different atmosphere. Uh-huh. Every single person knows that I will give them as much time as they need for me to help them. So nobody fears waiting 2 hours, 3 hours. I would never wait for anyone 2 to 3 hours, but they wait for me so that they can hear the correct advice after going over everything with them. That environment doesn't exist. But a pharmacist in a moment can look at the medications and at least tell the patient, I see a good reason for you to take some probiotics. How many patients come in and they get one pill of vitamin D? It's 50,000 IUs of vitamin D. You take one a week. And usually a doctor gives it to you for a month to 3 months. Well, why is there this huge deficiency in vitamin D in the world? Because we're doing so many things to interfere with absorption of nutrients. And what's the big thing for helping for absorption? Again, is probiotics. When it comes to Natasha's Megadophilus or Superdophilus, the professional line, or her Lactobacillus cultures, they help you to absorb. So if I have a patient deficient in vitamin D, which now everyone is, I don't have to give them huge doses. I give them a probiotic and a lower dose of D, and I see the blood work and their levels of vitamin D come up. And as far as skin issues that Natasha had mentioned, and issues where the immune system is fighting with your skin, well, patients with psoriasis and eczema, if you put them on the diet, like I said, a gluten-free, dairy-free diet, and you give them Trenif Trio or Healthy Trinity, and at the same time, some fatty acids like flaxseed oil, and let the Trenif Trio digest the flaxseed oil properly and let their skin get the oils that it needs, I see eczema disappear pretty quickly just by that diet, a simple fat, and a great probiotic. It's amazing how we can, I mean, you could talk about probiotics and their benefits forever.
Natasha, what do you think about the idea of the movement of probiotics within the medical field? Are you seeing more people like John that are really starting to bring in that one-on-one situation and really starting to think gut and health first? I mean, is there a movement?
Yeah, there is a movement, but the problem is it's not an in-depth movement. John's knowledge and his love of his patients is unique, and I'm sorry to see that because, you know, I've heard people call me up and say, well, my doctor just told me to take a probiotic. And I'm just, you know, sitting there hitting my head. They don't really sit down like John and think about what is the best course for the patient, what is the protocol to give the patient, because they themselves don't understand it. And what some companies are doing now, they're running clinical trials and trying to find probiotics that will affect a certain symptom. And this is what I call treating patients with symptomatic problems with a specific probiotic is very, very poor choice. And I'll give you a perfect example. There's a product that, you know, ran a clinical trial that shows reduction in colic in newborn infants. The problem is that bacteria is not indigenous to a healthy breastfed infant. So now you're giving a bacteria to take care of a problem, but that's not the bacteria that, you know, evolution and, you know, breast milk wants to stimulate. So, you know, and the person that you try to explain this to, well, my doctor told me to take this, probiotic because, hey, they have a clinical research that shows that it reduces colic. And I said, yes, but that's not just the function of a probiotic to take it for a symptomatic relief. The purpose of a probiotic is you have to determine where it's needed and by whom. You know, a newborn infant has a specific bacteria that's specifically stimulated by breast milk, and that's the only one that should be given to an infant, not some, you know, probiotic that's very strong, and it's been tested clinically to reduce a certain symptom, but is totally the wrong probiotic for that use. So that's what the frustration is. We're still in what I call the dark ages, and there's massive education needed to make the doctors think that you are impacting a very sensitive ecology, and you have to know exactly what you're giving the patient and what the ramifications are of giving that bacteria to that patient, not just for today, but for 5 or 10 years later.
You know, John, you talk about your protocol and your idea for diet. Are there age restrictions on that, or do you have people in different age groups?
Every age group.
Okay.
Because it could start when you're born. I mean, I have patients that I have newborn babies born with eczema. So I can, we have to figure out a dairy-free formula. We have to create a dairy-free formula for that patient sometimes. But always when I'm creating a dairy-free formula, I'm including LifeStart, the probiotic bifido culture, which is the right culture for a newborn baby. And we put it in the formula. So we may have the parent use a rice-based milk, use vitamins and fatty acids and probiotics, and you could make a baby formula. If you go online, you'll see different formulas, but I would recommend you add LifeStart to those formulas. And then the child just does so much better. Remember, these children now are being born more and more C-section, where the mother's been on antibiotic, and those babies are being born void of the right cultures, the right probiotics, if you want to say, in their digestive system so that they can thrive, so that they can absorb, digest and absorb and not be colicky and sleep well. Well, the LifeStart, instead of giving a baby acid reflux medication, which now is what they do, and then you create a whole host of problems in the future for that baby, where I see a lot of babies becoming asthmatic, where they're having breathing issues and all kinds of stomach issues because we put them on probiotics when they were born just for gas, give them LifeStart. That culture is what they're missing. And the colicky goes away, the gas goes away, but now the baby thrives. The baby grows better. The baby digests and absorbs better so it can grow better. Baby sleeps well, less colicky, less cramping. I love the LifeStart product. And it's another little thing that I do every day, but who has the time? You go into the pharmacy now, they're going to tell you to use a product, and I'm not going to mention a name. It's a bifidobacterium culture, but it sits on the shelf, and it's dead. And when you recommend that, you're going to confuse the parents into thinking, okay, probiotics don't work because they're not using the right product, and okay, probiotics don't work, we have to use the medication. Well, if the right people were telling the patients what to do with the right probiotics, you would find that everybody would gravitate to probiotics more. Even physicians don't truly believe that probiotics work because they're just saying, go buy one. And what is the patient to do? They go to the store and they don't know what to buy. So that's our biggest problem, educating.
You know, the other thing that I think we have to remember is that, you know, this may sound so new to someone, but Natasha, you know, you've been talking about this for such a long time. You were so far ahead of your time. And today it's like, and I know you shake your head thinking to yourself, I've been telling you this and I've been educating you. And now today, now it's right there up front and personal. And it's not a small sector of our society. It's everywhere. And it gets frustrating when you've been beating the drum for such a long time.
Oh, absolutely, and I just wanted to support John for what he said, that this Bifidobacteria infantis, this bacteria found in LifeStart, and we do have a rice-based formula. There was recent research released by the University of California at UC Davis that shows that over the decades and millennia, that mother's milk was specifically designed and to nurture the growth of this specific bacteria in the baby's gut. So what's happened in westernized cultures like the United States and Canada is that we saw the disappearance of this bacteria in the last 30 years. So even if you deliver a child vaginally and breastfeed it, it still doesn't have the right bacteria that was an evolutionary choice for mother's milk to stimulate. So you have to ask yourself the question, if this is missing, but we find it in third world countries where the children were not, you know, exposed to these drugs and the change in diet, why shouldn't we reintroduce this to our children and make certain that they have the best start in life by having the right bacteria that mother's milk was designed to stimulate? And to me, it's very simple. And the same bacteria can be used throughout life for people who have now sensitivity issues and they need to use a more gentle bifidobacteria for their sensitivity issues. And when you mix all of these bacteria together in one pill, you have no idea what you're giving to the person or what the person is taking. And this mixture of microorganisms creates an uneven supplementation in your gut, and it really doesn't do much help. So the customer, the pharmacist, the health food store person, the doctor, all of us have to have better education based on good science and not just what we heard in the last 30 seconds.
John, where do you think we're going with probiotics in your field? I mean, do you think we're heading in the right direction? Are your colleagues coming along? Do you see it becoming a more common occurrence of people looking to quality probiotics?
Everyone is talking about it. Everyone says that they know a probiotic that is good, that works well. So at least they're paying attention. Do they understand it? Do they know enough? No, but at least people want to try. And that's big. That's a big difference from 10 years ago.
Well, that's a good step in the right direction.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people will ask me, they'll say, you know, I'm working on my vitamin regime, and what do you think about a probiotic? And I just kind of tilt my head to the right, and I'm like, really? I said, have we been talking about this? You listen to me, you hear the shows. And I said, it's probiotic, then multiple vitamin. And that's a hard thing to teach.
I sometimes tell my patients, I'm not even going to recommend a multivitamin. I see specific issues here that we need to deal with, and the probiotic will be one of the first things that I'm recommending because I need the other vitamins to work. And sometimes I'll tell a patient, look, multivitamin is not the most important thing at the moment. We've got to deal with this, this, and this, and to make sure that those things will work, I need you to use a probiotic. So not always do I even recommend a multi.
You know, Natasha, people come to you for knowledge and expertise. You know, you are the foundation of probiotics in this country. And, you know, and I think that a lot of the medical establishment has jumped on because of your knowledge and what you've done and taught and trained and the studies and all the things that you've been able to do. I just want to say, you know, because sometimes I even forget to say thank you to you for what you've done in the probiotic field.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I just wanted to ask John, do you have your protocol maybe for the sleep apnea available on a website that you'd like to direct people to and give you the proper credit?
I don't. You could go to Nature's Apothecary at hotmail.com, and I will post it there. It'll be up there by tomorrow.
Nature's
protocols for acid reflux and sleep apnea.
Say that again, wonderful. Nature's Apothecary?
Nature's Apothecary at hotmail.com.
Beautiful. That'll be wonderful. You know, this was good discussion. This was such good information today. I hope that people will walk away feeling a little bit more educated on the importance of probiotics in our body. Because the thing is, it's not just about your gut health. It is about your gut health, but it's also about all the parts of the body that are benefited, all the radiated benefits, all of the enhancements, all of the balancing, all of the rebuilding of the parts of the body that we've been walking around in a deficient state for a very long time. The thing is, people will learn when you use a quality probiotic and you bring in a quality exercise program and you really take the time to eat, you know, the right kind of foods and take a quality altogether and bring in exercise, do that healthy trinity that Natasha's been talking about forever, you're going to see an amazing amount of change. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this and all my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening, and stay well.